This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
I can say good morning. I think it is just about good morning. The example I'm going to talk about today, although it's actually focused on highways, the key really is actually, it's not just a model that can be applied to highways. It's about working differently with our providers, about actually putting the public and the private sector together in a different way of working to make sure that we understand the costs of whatever it is that we provide, to take opportunities to take those costs out together rather than simply, as I would describe it, pushing down price savings through a traditional tendering process. Give you an idea of Staffordshire. At the heart of the country in the West Midlands. My background's an engineer, so I like to give people an idea of scale and size and so on and so forth. So it's about 60 miles north to south, very varied environment, 4,000 mile road network with an asset value of about £6.5 billion. And the delivery model that we've got for highways in Staffordshire includes all our main highway activities, ranging from the day-to-day maintenance of the network through to some of the transport infrastructure that I'm sure many of you in the room will be responsible providing in your own authorities. Although we can look at any organisation as simply people, systems and processes, I think the key to what we've done in Staffordshire is very much been, as it describes on the slide, driven evolution and not revolution. It's about bringing people together. At the end of the day, it's people that make the change, it's people that facilitate that change, and it's people that will actually either make it succeed or not. And I was thinking about sort of many of the traditional relationships, not just in highway services, but more recently I've become involved in looking at the waste contracts that we provide in Staffordshire and the transport contracts that we provide in Staffordshire. And I was thinking about what sort of the traditional relationships tended to be between the client, between many of the people in this room, between the provider, and in many cases it might be a tier one provider who then has other people that also act as subcontractors or tier two providers to that organisation. So I'm just going to show you a very short video, just as a sort of thought provoke of, does this describe actually the relationship that many of us still have between ourselves and our providers, and what we need to do to change that?
I am upper class. I look up to him because he is upper class. But I look down on him because he is lower class. I am middle class. I know my place. I look up to them both. But I don't look up to him as much as I look up to him. Because he has got innate breeding.
I have got innate breeding, but I have not got any money. So sometimes I look up to him.
I still look up to him. Because although I have money, I am vulgar. But I am not as vulgar as him. So I still look down on him. I know my place. I look up to them both. But while I'm poor, I'm industrious, honest and trustworthy. Had I the inclination, I could look down on them. But I don't. We all know our place, but what do we get out of it?
I get a feeling of superiority over them.
I get a feeling of inferiority from him. But a feeling of superiority over him. I get a pain in the back of my neck.
I think the thing that struck me partway through that, and you know, I think that really describes perhaps many of the relationships that we have in lots of our providers, the way we deal with them, the way we manage with them, the way we interact with them. But partway through, the change in attitude, because all of a sudden, John Cleese has got no money. And perhaps that reflects where we are and the way we need to change, if we haven't already, the way that we work with our providers to actually pull up innovation from them rather than simply push down the prices through particularly traditional tendering methods. So where did we come from in Staffordshire? We've heard several times this morning talk of partnership. I think it's fair to say in Staffordshire that back in 2004, we thought we were doing okay in partnership working, but partnership working to us very much meant, well, we'll have a mission statement and we'll all go away on a workshop and we'll come away and we'll sign a charter, an example of which you can see on the slide. We very much thought that, well, perhaps that was partnering. I think partnering goes far beyond that. Our processes in terms of procurement, we were very prescriptive. We've heard about outputs a few times this morning in terms of arrangements. I think we need to be moved beyond outputs to outcomes. What is it we actually want to deliver? What difference do we want to make? We weren't integrated. We didn't have end-to-end processes. And as a result, I think it's fair to say we incurred a lot of extra cost and our providers incurred a lot of extra cost. So what did we do? Well, first of all, we actually went out and talked to the industry. What did they say about what we should be doing differently, how we could engage differently with industry? And we set ourselves out a quite clear agenda back in 2002 of how are we going to procure our services differently in the future? What are our objectives? And as I say, they were objectives relating to a highway service. From the recent work I've been doing, we're now starting to move these same objectives into the way we procure facilities management, the way we procure our waste contracts, and in the last few weeks I've started working with our new Transport and Connectivity Commissioner to see how we can take this model into transport. What was the aim? It was about releasing long-term sustainable cash savings, not driving down price at the point of tender, only to see that price increase and a gap increase over the years as we move away from the tender date. Take costs out for the long term by working together. As I say, we started the journey back in 2002, actually 2 years before we went out to procurement, so it gives an idea of the length of time that we actually spent considering how are we going to procure differently. The selection process itself was different from what we'd done in the past, and it was actually very much focused on the culture of the organisation that we wanted to work with. How did we do that? A very large emphasis on actually going out to those providers that were in the tendering process, seeing what they did, talking to people. We wanted open access to that group of people, not going where we were told we could go. We wanted to go and talk to the people within our other authorities working with this organisation to see how they actually delivered the service. We operated initially as a three-way partnership, and then in 2009 we took the decision to actually reduce our number of contracts down to one. We've now got one single provider, which is Enterprise. We stopped for a while at that point, 2009, and we actually took a look at ourselves. We took a look at ourselves initially internally, and then we had some support from Hapoel Consulting to actually, where do we want to go over the next 5 years? We're 5 years into a 10-year contract. What do we want to do over the next 5 years? Can we do more? Can we do even better? And we set ourselves, again, a clear agenda to do that, very much about continuing to take those cash, that cash out, to move to a very integrated structure, a single management team between the private sector and the County Council operating as a virtual joint venture. How do we go about it? We had a transformation programme known as Project Vista. We had a number of interrelated projects, frontline support, coordination of works, operational activities, very much business process re-engineering. But actually, we did it ourselves. We had support to do that, but we worked with our teams. At the end of the day, your own teams will have great ideas. Make the most of them. The innovation is there. What you quite often need to do is just go out and seek it and find it and give them the empowerment to actually work it through and make a difference. Communication, definitely very key. Whatever change process you're going through, I talked earlier on, it is very much about people. If you don't communicate with those people and keep them on board, you will lose them during a change process. Motivation will go down and they won't own whatever it is that you are changing to the service, the way that you deliver it, the way that you operate it. Why did we go for a virtual joint venture rather than a joint venture? Lots of organisations at the moment are going for joint ventures, arm's length companies, mutuals. There's a whole plethora of arrangements out there at the moment. We went for a virtual joint venture because actually we saw a lot of benefit, but actually without all the legal hang-ups that you can often get with a joint venture. We wanted flexibility. As I said, it's a long-term arrangement, but we wanted the ability to change that arrangement. It's quite a challenge to predict what services will look like in 2 years, let alone 5 years or 10 years, so we wanted to keep that flexibility. As I said, it's very much a single integrated team, and it allows that team to develop and evolve. And one of the core principles of that has been it is an open book, cost reimbursable contract. And I've talked a lot about costs as opposed to prices. What that does is enable us to really understand what the costs are in the business. We've taken cost out. We deliver more now with far less than we did 5 years ago. We continue to take costs out of the business, not drive price down, not drive quality down, understand where there is cost that can be taken out. How do we do a lot of that? End-to-end processes, not suddenly stopping at the interface between the client and the provider. For example, payment. We used to process about 30,000 invoices a year. We now have one annual order, £50 million, 12 monthly invoices. Massive back office savings on that. We collect the costs in the enterprise system, not in the county system. And we do it once. We do it right. We do it in one place. Latest development, to show you how far you can go with the virtual joint venture, is that one of our senior management team has now been seconded to Enterprise and will actually be heading up the Enterprise operation in Staffordshire. So it can be done. It's about trust. It's about working together. It's about developing that partnership beyond the partnership. Just some of the examples. We did fundamentally change the way we operated. We operated as an area-based structure previously. We moved to a functional structure to deliver highway services. Very much, again, looking at what needs to be delivered locally, what doesn't need to be delivered locally, and by putting it together in one place, can we drive out efficiency? That describes the model that we had initially, with lots of activities taking place in local depots, not always joined up. You could have a situation where a crew would travel 30 miles from a depot to the north of the county, and because we had a divisional boundary, we could have a crew that was within a few miles of that location doing a similar piece of work. Because we weren't joined up, we hadn't got visibility of that information. So it's interesting when we heard the presentation from the Environment Agency about taking cost out. Yeah, we've taken cost out because we've actually been more effective in the way we've scheduled work and been able to plan stuff in a more efficient way. So the model now looks as shown on the diagram there. Yes, we've still got people that work in the depots, but only those people that we need to work in the depots. We've also got our community liaison teams, which we created out of the money that we saved. They work out of those depots. They are in the heart of that local community. But the items of work that we used to do locally, such as customer inquiry, planning work, scheduling work, resourcing, now all takes place in a control room in the centre of Stafford. Definitely makes it easier to implement change. One example recently has been the way we program work. We've moved from a paper system to an electronic system. Okay, nothing rocket science in that in itself, but actually, even the process of putting that system in was far, far easier because a lot of it revolved around the work in the control centre in Stafford, rather than having to do it several times over at individual depots. We've certainly changed from very traditional service delivery to a dynamic public-private sector partnership, now into a virtual joint venture, as I say, with a single integrated team. One of the key objectives we set back in 2002 was to create sustained cash releasing savings. That's just an example of some of the savings that we have achieved through that process. And I think it's fair to say we weren't very good in the early years at capturing the savings that we actually made. We've done some work since, and I'll come on to that later. The real gap is probably up to about £25 million now that we've actually saved or we have mitigated the impact due to inflation. That's the financial stuff, but what do people actually say about what we're doing? Because we might have simply taken that money out and not improved the service. That was one of our aims. We wanted to improve the service as well as take cash out wherever we could. We believe we are a pretty efficient service. We were in the top 10 Gershon Highway Savings a few years ago. Midlands Highway Alliance recently described the way that we're working as at the forefront of collaborative working practice. We get good scores for considerate constructors. That's the people that go out and look at how we're delivering our work, how we deal with the impacts that we have on the community when we're building transport infrastructure. And we've also got other authorities actually adopting what we've been doing in Staffordshire. And as I say, Staffordshire itself is also looking at adopting this model across other activities that we do, waste facilities management, and now into transport contracts. But of course, all that doesn't mean a lot if at the end of the day, what you're doing in terms of the customer isn't actually working. Members are more satisfied than they've ever been. 90% of members are saying they're satisfied or very satisfied with what we do as a highway service. We're getting less complaints than we used to, getting far more compliments than we used to. Our network condition's getting better. Despite we've got a fairly heavily used network where we're situated in the West Midlands, particularly in terms of heavy goods vehicles. And also the network's growing. Like most of us at the time, we've got increased network length, but with less money. In terms of costs, our cost per kilometre of looking after our network is significantly less than comparable contracts. Really key thing, I think really interesting, we did some work recently across the Midland Service Improvement Group to look at the effects of inflation on prices and costs over the past 5 years. And I think this really starts to illustrate the difference between price and cost. The typical rise for the cost of a structural maintenance scheme across that group of authorities between 2005 and 2010 was anywhere between 22% up to as far as 94%. Most of those arrangements were price-based. The equivalent figure in Staffordshire, and although we started, we were about at the median to start off with, we've contained our cost inflation to 15%. I think that's an indication of what you can do if you really understand the cost in the business and work with your private sector provider. A few key learning points. As I said at the start, very much about how do we take the best of the public and the private sector. It's about culture. People deliver our services, whatever those services are. It's about working with those people. It's really important if you're going to go through a change process, identify up front what any barriers are likely to be. We started working with our teams about 2 years before we went into the new arrangement, so they understood what the cultural changes were going to be, what the change of operating arrangements was going to mean for them, to try and tear down some of the barriers and some of the fears that are inherent in that kind of process. Change doesn't come from having a different provider. Change actually comes from your existing senior team, the people that you've got now. Because certainly if you are having different contractual arrangements, you will have the majority of the people delivering that service for you in the future. And I think the real thing out of all this, and I've said it several times, is understand cost as opposed to price. That is where you will get the savings. That is where you will get the efficiency savings out of the service. I think we certainly feel in Staffordshire that we've embraced best practice in what we do. We have delivered a real change in the way we work, and most importantly, we've done two of the things that we set out to achieve. Long-term sustainable savings, whilst actually improving the way that we deliver the service. Can we apply the model to other services? I've already described in Staffordshire, we're moving the model into the way we deliver some of our waste services. We're working on a similar model for our facilities management, and we've just started some work looking at our transport contracts. I was interested, I was reading on the train actually on the way down here this morning, latest edition of Surveyor, talking very much about the highway maintenance and improvement efficiency programme, the National Efficiency Programme that I'm sure many of you heard of, and the headline was Public-Private Scepticism Presents a Serious Barrier to Best Practice. Historic and cultural issues of mistrust between public and private organisations prevent a serious barrier to best practice. And I think that's, you know, that really is at the heart of all of us in this room, of what we need to do going forward, is to understand those differences and actually take cost out of the system. And I think, just to sum up the quote that I've put up on the screen, which is from John F. Kennedy very early in his presidency, I think sums up, you know, where we are in local government today. Change is the law of life. If we look only to the past or the present, then actually we are going to miss the future. Thank you.